The following teaching is brought to you by Cross Point Church. For sermon notes and other resources, visit gotocrosspoint.com.
1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 says, "The end of the world is coming soon." The old Bibles say, "The end of the world is at hand." And you guys, if you've lived in cities of various shapes and sizes, you'll see people walking around from time to time with the big sandwich board sign on or putting big banners up. The end of the world is near. And whenever we get to places like that, when we see that kind of thing, the Bible is going to say that frequently to us. And if it's just a thing like life is going pretty good, what we try to do when we hear the end of the world is near is let's figure it out. Who's the Antichrist? What's the mark of the beast? What's all those visions in Revelation and all the details of the seventh seal and the tenth horn of the toenail of the dragon that came out of the pit, all those kind of things and more. We try to figure all that out. Now, when it's not just the end of the world is coming and that's sort of like a conceptual thing and we try to figure it out, when all hell's breaking loose, when the wheels are coming off, when things are going crazy in our life, Ben, that's what was going on back then. For these people that Peter's writing to, they're at a place right now, if you go back and study history, the Roman Empire is in this transition phase of the big part of the start of the Roman Empire, it was a republic. It was ruled by the Senate. It was not a dictatorship, but some things have happened now with Pompey and Octavian and Nero and all that. And now all of a sudden they're going to have Caesars that are more like the king, more the one who's the dictator, the one who's in charge of the whole thing. And so things are very unstable right now. Here's what's happened. The Caesars have decided to kick all the Jews out of Rome and a lot of the cities of the Roman Empire. The Bible even talks about the fact that Aquila and Priscilla, some friends of Paul, they found Paul because they had been kicked out of Rome. In AD 70, the Jewish temple in Jerusalem was burned down. It was toppled. It was demolished in there. When that happened, that wasn't just a thing that was just for people of the Jewish faith and Jewish persuasion, because in the early church, in the first century, 90% of that church was Jewish. And so when they're targeted, they're in the wake zone of all this, and all hell's breaking loose. And he says, look, the end of the world kind of stuff feels like it's happening. And he's going to tell us some things to do. But I thought about it and thought, a year or so ago to preach this message, we had to talk end of the world. Let's talk about Revelation. Let's talk about things we should or shouldn't do. How many would agree that 2020 has felt like the end of the world? There's a global pandemic. And if you're paying attention to the news, they're saying we're not flattening the curve on it right now. In fact, it's actually the curve is maybe getting back up again, and countries in Europe are having to take drastic measures again. Just quick sneak preview, that's probably coming for us here in the United States in a bit. I hope not, but you never know. Then there's all the injustice and racial tension that's been going on. There's this thing coming up on Tuesday, the election and the political divisiveness. I've only been alive for 50 or so years, so I don't know the whole scope of things in the whole history of America, but I've never seen it like this. This divided, this harsh, this much people just at each other. And then there's the whole divisiveness and all hell's breaking loose because I can't believe they're going to make me wear a mask in public. And there, man, we get triggered by that. And some people get really triggered because they feel like they have great medical science. The experts are divided on it. And then they tell us we have to have our kids at home and educate our kids at home. And we have to work and do our jobs and try to figure out how our kids are going to not get lost in the shuffle and get so far behind. There's the kids at school. Then there's the limitations on gatherings. Like, where are we? You know, if you guys have paid attention out here in California, what they do now is there's different tiers. We're the purple, the red, the orange, and the yellow, I think, something like that. Nothing's ever going to be green ever again. But we were in the purple zone, which was very restrictive. We went to the red zone for a bit so we could be in here, and then went back to purple again. And all the restrictions on restaurants and places of worship and schools and what's going to happen, and the teachers are going to vote on a thing. Are the kids going to come back? Are they not going to come back? Plexiglass and masks. How do you make children wear a mask? How do you make 17-year-old disrespectful teenagers wear a mask in your class. We're freaking out about that. And then this, what, 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, the governor put out the mandate for how you're allowed to celebrate Thanksgiving. And if you've paid attention at all, you have seen people, it feels like the end of the world is at hand. And then we have things maybe going on in our own personal lives. Health issues, financial issues, marriage issues, stuff where our kids are doing some stuff that's destructive and terrible. Man, last weekend in 12 hours, I had three different conversations with people who are parents of adult children who are just making awful, destructive decisions right now. And that's all happening in the midst of everything else that's going on here. It feels like the end of the world is at hand. And so on your note sheet, if you've downloaded the note sheet, it'll be up on the screen. The common narrative of our culture, the common value of our culture right now is be true to yourself. So when stuff happens, you know, don't let anybody tell you how to act. You just be true to yourself. Here's what being true to ourselves looks like. It's going to be three quick words. We freak out, lash out, or veg out. Freak out, lash out, veg out. Also called America in 2020. That's what's happening all over the place, on social media, on news channels, in classrooms, in small groups, in religious settings, in non-religious settings. We see things that are going, we freak out about it, and then we will lash out. And we'll say things to people either personally or on social media. We'll see things, you'll watch this on the news, people going at each other. And here's what tends to happen. Some of you have been the target of some of this. I know I have here at Cross Point. I'm doing okay right now. But there has been, in the last 7 months here, there's been some people who've just been jerks to us as a church and jerks to me as a person. And over the fact that we're going to not, anyway, just, I won't tell you all the details of it because you may think I'm talking about you, and I probably am. I don't know. but what happens is people get scared and people get angry. People aren't evil. I tell this all the time to people on our staff when people do this. People aren't evil. They're scared. And sometimes they get scared, they get angry. And so what happens is the way people are acting right now and lashing out and posting all kinds of stuff and texting evil things back to you, they're not evil. They're just scared and angry, and because they're scared and angry, they're doing evil things. But they're not evil people, mostly. They're just doing evil things. Now, some people don't lash out. The other thing we do is not lash out, but we veg out. We veg out and we binge alcohol and food and drugs and pornography and Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. We just gorge ourselves on that stuff because it's the way that we deal with, I'm just overwhelmed, I'm stressed out, I'm wigging out, I'm freaking out, I don't want to lash out, so I just veg out. Peter's going to give us a whole different way to do this. I'm going to give you the three words. They won't come up on the screen all at once. You're going to get them one at a time on the screen. But here's the message today. My sermon in a sentence is this. When all hell's breaking loose, pray, love, and serve. So Peter's going to tell us here. We're going to look at it in some detail now, but he's going to say, pray, love, and serve. The end of the world is coming soon. Therefore, and whenever you see the word therefore, you ask, what's it there for? Well, the word therefore is to say, based on the fact the world's coming soon, here's what you do. Don't freak out. Don't lash out. Don't wig out. Don't try to figure it all out. He says, therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. The word idea of earnest there is the idea of when you pray, don't just go through the motions. Don't just go, yada, yada, yada. Dear God, thanks for the day. Thanks for the food. Thanks for the grub. Amen. Don't just go through the motions. Man, pray like you mean it. And here's the deal. When the end of the world stuff is happening in my life, I don't just pray formula prayers anymore. Man, I pray very differently. When life is squeezing me, when there's crisis and difficulty going on. So be passionate in your prayers. But it's fascinating here. He doesn't just say be passionate and pray earnestly and get on fire for God. He also says be disciplined in your prayers. Let me just tell you, for me, I've been a pastor now for like 30 years. One of the things that I sometimes struggle with that doesn't just come easy for me is prayer. Reading the Bible, going to church, worship, all that stuff. Prayer at times is just tricky for me. And so I've had to learn over the years, don't worry about being all fired up and get yourself all fired up so you can pray. Sometimes what I do is just be disciplined. And so what I've done on my Google Calendar is several times during the week at certain moments of the day, I have a little prayer reminder pop up. And this says, hey, take some time right now, go outside and pray. 15 minutes. And I'll just sit there and go, I'm going to time this out for 15 minutes. And look, prayer can't just be a thing of just, this becomes going through the motions. Okay, did my 15 minutes, yada, yada, yada. It's, you want both of them. You want earnestness and passion, but you also want some structure. And sometimes you got to put some structure in our place, in our lives. You guys know that about diet and exercise, right? If you just exercised when you felt inspired, you know who would exercise? Two people at our church would exercise. Nobody else would do it because they're all fired up to do it. Sometimes you do it, go, I've got an appointment I've made. I'm scheduling this into my life. So he's going to say, be earnest and disciplined with your prayer. But getting back to this idea of being passionate in your prayer. We are passionate for a lot of things right now. We're passionate about TV programs. We're passionate about our sports teams. We're passionate about who should or should not get elected when we find out maybe a week from Tuesday, by the time they count everything. Some of us are going to get very freaked out and lash out and wig out and be passionate. We're going to be passionate about who does or doesn't get elected. There's a guy named Albert Tate, who's the pastor of a big church up in Los Angeles, and somebody sent this to me this week. In the Bible, Jesus is sometimes called the Lion of the Tribe of Judah or the Lamb of God. So he's the Lion and the Lamb. And Albert Tate says this. I should have put his tweet up on the screen. I should have got there. I didn't think about it until later after all the media stuff was done. But this is so good. He said, look, if God's people were half as concerned about the lion and the lamb as they are about an elephant and a donkey, there'd be far less political dung being flung around and a lot more spiritual fruit. There's a lot of dung being flung around right now because we're freaking out and we're lashing out. And we're passionate about things. He says, look, instead of lashing out, cry out to God. Pray. We're going to give you a chance at the end of our time together today in just a few minutes where we're going to pray. We're going to pray specifically for our country and for the election that's coming up, for God to be glorified, for God to for Christians and for people who are freaking out about this, that peace would reign. However God's going to lead us to pray, we're not just going to talk about prayer. We're going to give you a chance to pray, either by yourself or maybe gather up with the people wherever and whenever you're watching this week. But we're going to pray. I also want to tell you this. If prayer is your deal, if prayer is your jam, if you just love to pray, if it's just how you roll, man, for some of you, and I've talked to some of you, man, some of the things in the Bible, like going to church and reading the Bible, man, you do that? But man, you pray and you're a prayer warrior. You're Wonder Woman prayer warrior. You are Thor prayer warrior. You pray and you love it. If prayer is your deal, I want to talk to you. Because I got some things I want to chat with you about regarding stuff going on in our church, revival and renewal and repentance for our church and for our community and for our nation. So you can text me. I think the number will come up on the screen right now. But text me to the number 951-526-6378. 951-526-6378. If I may not have you in my contacts, so please tell me who you are when you text me. But if prayer's your deal, let's talk. I got some things that have been on my heart that God's put on my heart there that I want to talk with you about. And even if you're like, I should pray better and pray more, and I want to hear about that, you can text me as well. Peter's going to say, instead of freaking out and lashing out, cry out, pray, and pray like you mean it. And then let's keep reading what he says here. Be in earnest and disciplined in your prayers because the end of the world stuff's going on. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. He's going to tell us when end of the world stuff is happening in your life, when the end of the world, for some of you on Tuesday, Wednesday, or whenever they announce the results of the election, it's going to feel like the end of the world's coming there. He says the most important thing you do right there is not to freak out and lash out or veg out and go drink too much or eat too much or turn on Netflix. What he's going to say is love. Love's the most important thing we do. And it's fascinating here because there's kind of like a wordplay here. Because there's two meanings here to this. God's love for us covered a multitude of unforgivable sin. When Jesus went to the cross and died there for us, his love covered over your sin. If you're not a Christian today, becoming a Christian is simply recognizing that I have sinned and rebelled against God, and I deserve his wrath and his judgment. But 2,000 years ago, the Son of God, God came into our world. He lived and died and rose again to pay the penalty for my sin, to break the power of sin in my life, and to restore me back to a relationship with God. If you in faith believe that what Jesus did for you on that cross 2,000 years ago, today's the day to become a Christian. Today's the day to cross over that line of faith and say, I mean, I'm freaking out, I'm wigging out, I'm doing vegging out dumb stuff that's wrecking and ruining me and my family. It's time to cry out to God and let God's love cover my sin. So the good news of Christianity is all about is God did everything for you. You cannot be good enough to let your love and let your goodness cover over your sin, but you don't have to. Jesus did it for you. If that's a decision you're making today, man, text me about that. Email us about that. On that number that you texted a few minutes ago for the prayer or just for more information about if you're new at our church, let us know. Put it on the connection card. We'd love to hear about that and chat with you about what it means now to follow Jesus. But Jesus is going to say to his people who've had their sin covered over by his love, he says, the way you're going to show deep love for each other is to also cover over other people's sin. Uh-oh. I want you to see some verses on this in your Bibles. The book of Proverbs. Keep something here in Peter. We're going to come back to this. But there's several verses in the book of Proverbs that talk about this. Proverbs chapter 12. Verse 16, if you have a pen or a pencil or you're on a mobile device, highlight this, put notes by this to refer back to this. Proverbs 12, 16. A fool is quick-tempered. A fool lashes out, but a wise person stays calm. Not if they're insulted, when they're insulted. If you just know people are going to be jerks to you, people are going to say evil things to you, just understand you're going to be insulted. The foolish person lashes out and wigs out and freaks out about that. The wise person stays calm when they're insulted. Flip over a few pages to the right, Proverbs 15, 18. It's probably the next page over in your Bibles. Proverbs 15, 18. A hot-tempered person starts fights. A cool-tempered person stops them. Man, I'm telling you right now, sometimes what's happening right now, people are triggered and freaking out. And what happens is we get triggered and we're freaking out, lashing out. And we're just pouring flames, we're pouring fuel on the fire. We're taking lighter fluid and gasoline and going, and you wonder why things are crazy and divisive right now. How about, what if, man, what if just like 10 of you in your conversations with people say, look, the next time something like that starts, I'm going to pour water on it, not fuel on it. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to just calm things down. And then one of the best verses here, Proverbs 19:11. Proverbs 19:11 says this. Sensible people control their temper. They earn respect by overlooking wrongs. This is what Peter is saying here, is that we overlook things. We don't hold it against people. We don't, here's what some of us do. We don't maybe freak out and go at people, but you know what we do? It all goes here in our head. And man, we rehearse that scene and we think, man, if they say it again, I'm gonna get them. I'm gonna, I got it. I am locked and loaded and ready to go. And I was looking at this verse probably a month or two ago. And in the midst of looking at it, God just spoke into my heart about some things about people and difficult stuff that was going on. And it was this. He says, Steve, you can earn It'd be good to earn respect. It's to a man's glory, is the old school Bible say, to overlook the wrong. But instead, what most people do is they look over it. We keep looking at it and keep rehearsing it and keep looking at it. We can't believe that they did that. It just stays there and stays there and stays there. He's going to say one of the marks of a Christian is to, when we are offended, when people do things wrong to us, to just let it go. Some of us could learn from Elsa and Anna and Frozen. I mean, some of us, we just let things go. Just cover over the sin. Now, look, an important thing to point out here. Peter is here not saying cover up evil. Love does not cover up evil. When people have done evil and evil, harmful things, love goes after that to say, we got to deal with that. But most of our problem right now, where we find ourselves in this end of the world kind of thing that feels like it's happening right now in this pandemic and the political situation we find ourselves in, is because somebody's going to vote differently than us. Somebody put Black Lives Matter or Blue Lives Matter or All Lives Matter on their social media page. Somebody cut us off on the freeway. Somebody was rude or insensitive to us at work, and they didn't notice the big contribution that we made, and they said they pointed out what somebody else did. This is what happens in marriages all the time. In marriages all the time, we start, I've done all kinds of counseling over the years, and couples get in this place of communication where they're just looking to be offended. They're just waiting for somebody, for their spouse to make them mad against. They can go, bam. Just look, the way you show deep love for each other is not flowers and romantic getaways and all this amazing, fantastic, outlandish displays of love. One of the best things you could do that'll help your marriage get better, those of you that are married, those of you that are dating, let some stuff go. And you have to figure that out. The Holy Spirit, you got to figure out what you have to go after. But there's a lot of stuff that's just creating havoc and chaos in relationships. And he's going to say, the way you could show deep love for somebody is let it go. Just love them and don't bring it up. Don't roll your eyes. Ugh, there she goes again. There he goes again. Just let it go. And we do that. Love, that covers over the sin and it makes the relationships, makes everything better. So he says, don't freak out. Don't lash out. Don't wig out. It lash out at people. Let it go. Cover over the sin. That's been the wrong that's been done to you. And then he's going to tell us, after he says, pray, love each other deeply. Back in 1 Peter 4 again, he's going to say, for love covers a multitude of sins. Look at verse 9. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. The last one here, this is serve. He's going to say, pray, love, serve. With your stuff. When somebody needs some of your stuff, help them out. This is, sometimes it's anonymous kind of help. Sometimes it's people in your circles, in your small groups. It's people in your circles of friends at work. Somebody's struggling. Buy them some groceries if they need some food. Buy them a meal somewhere. Sometimes it's a matter of, hey, if you got a home and you got an extra room there and somebody needs a place to stay, let them come and stay. And you got to be careful of that. I get if you're a single woman, you don't let men just come move into some empty room you have in your house. But I'm thinking, like, in some cases, like, look, Denise and I, over the years, it's been fun for us. A few times, not all the time, but a few times, people have been in a place where, man, just in between places or kind of struggling a little bit. We said, just come and stay at our place for a while. I'm just telling you, it's not just an obligatory thing you do. It's fun. It's fun to have other people come in and share your life and do life together. So he says, share your stuff. Stop vegging out and indulging yourself and eating and drinking and drugging and watching and all that kind of stuff and just indulging yourself. He said, instead, don't worry about yourself. Worry about somebody else. When end of the world stuff is happening in our culture, in our world, there's going to be people that are struggling. So use your resources to help them out. I think over the years, you guys have done such a great job of that here at Crosspoint, especially in these last 7 or 8 months of this pandemic, where you've continued to give. You've continued to support what God's doing here at Crosspoint. Because you've done that, we've been able on multiple occasions to provide groceries and places to stay for people. In some cases, it's like somebody's homeless. There was just somebody here as I was leaving church here the other night and struggling in a domestic violence situation, we got her off the street and helped her out. It's because you guys give. In some cases, some of you, people have needed rent money, like jobs got tight or money got tight. So we paid rent for a few months for people. That happens because God's people are generous. And they recognize, look, I'm not just going to worry about myself and indulge and consume, become a consumer and consume all my resources. I'm going to use my resources as a steward and let them flow. Let them go outside and use them for other people. And then he goes on to say this. God's given each of you, look at verse 10, a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. Do you have the gift of speaking? Then speak as though God himself were speaking through you. Do you have the gift of helping others? Do it with all the strength and energy that God supplies. And then everything you do will bring glory to God through Jesus Christ. All glory and power to him forever and ever. Amen. Use your abilities. The Bible is going to tell us very clearly, when you're born into this world as a human being, you've got natural abilities. You're wired by God with a certain temperament, with certain abilities that just, you have natural abilities. When you become a Christian, there's some verses there in your note sheet. You don't just have your natural abilities anymore. You are given what the Bible calls charis, or grace gifts, supernatural gifts of God's Spirit to help you serve other people, not just to help you serve yourself. So he says, look, if you have a gift of speaking, don't just be quiet and never speak. He says, man, go out and speak boldly. He says you have the gift of helping people, serve people boldly. Are these spiritual gifts kind of fall into those two categories? There are speaking kind of gifts, upfront kind of gifts where you speak or pray or prophesy or sing. There's those kind of gifts. And then there's helping kind of gifts where usually those are behind the scenes kind of thing where you just help people and use your abilities. It says, with all of it, speak like God's talking through you. Don't just go, it's just me. Let God speak through you. When you serve people, don't just do it with, well, I just have to go in my strength and my energy. Then recognize God has given you supernatural ability, supernatural strength to serve people, to make a difference in their lives, especially when all kinds of people's lives, it feels like the end of the world's coming. This is a chance for the Church of Jesus Christ to shine. Instead of wigging out, freaking out, lashing out, and vegging out, we pray, we love, and we serve. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if little by little, God's people started doing that? We quit yelling at the culture around us and just said, man, and every time I get triggered with something where I get wigged out, freaking out, instead of lashing out, I'm going to cry out to God. I'm going to pray to God for that person that makes me so angry. I'm going to pray for our governor. Pray for our president, no matter who he might be come Tuesday night or whenever that happens. When I get offended, when people offend me, when people insult me, people do me wrong, when my spouse doesn't appreciate me, when my kids don't appreciate me, I'm going to let some things go. I'm not going to make everything be a battle. Sometimes I'm going to let some stuff go like that and just watch things calm down. And then I'm going to serve. I'm going to use the abilities God's given me, use the resources he's given me to make a difference in people's lives. Guys, the Christian life, what God's called us to do is not complicated. It's not always easy, but it's not complicated. Can you imagine what a world it would be here in our cities, Temecula, Murrieta, Wildomar, Fallbrook. I'm telling you, you will change the world. You will change the world by changing your sphere of influence, where instead of doing what everybody else is doing by being true to themselves, wigging out, freaking out, lashing out, or vegging out, instead we just pray, love, and serve. The band's coming up right now. And like I said earlier, we're gonna give you a chance as a community of people, wherever and whenever you're watching, to pray. And we're gonna do that by praying for the election. And so the band's gonna put some music on in the background here. And then I'm not gonna pray out loud for 3 or 4 minutes. I'm gonna turn off my mic. I'm gonna sit over here and pray with my buddy Rod Other people up here in the team are going to pray. They're going to be playing music and praying, kind of this. And then when we're done, it'll be 3 or 4 minutes to pray about the election coming up on Tuesday and praying for our country. However and whatever God leads you to pray, do that. Now, as you pray, be honest with God. If you have a particular party or person that you want to win, you can ask God about that. But it's fascinating. One of the ways that we'd be better off in our prayers, we'd be less freaking out in our prayers even, would be to do what Jesus said. What Jesus said to do when he was crying out to God, when he was freaking out in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, God, make it happen this way. Do this and do this and do this. But every time he said that, he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. That God, what I want more than my preferences of political party to be elected, I want you to be glorified. And don't miss this. This book is full of stories of God being glorified by godly men and women. But it's also got stories in there about God being glorified by some crazy, jacked up, evil people. So at some point you can recognize that, God, I need my perspective changed, and pray for yourself in this, and just pray that God would be glorified. So we're going to pray right now. I'm going to turn the mic off. We're going to pray for a couple minutes, and then I will pray out loud again to wrap up our prayer time, and we will then do a couple of more songs here together to let this just sink into our soul.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. For more resources, check out gotocrosspoint.com.